934 KCBS. We're holding out hope here to get Dr. Eric Appon, the state epidemiologist, to join us here for Ask an Expert. And it looks like that call may be getting connected right now. And I'm hoping that it is you, Dr. Appon. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. All right. Let's jump into it. We have obviously a lot of questions from people who want to know about the particulars of the shift in the eligibility situation for vaccinations starting today. Let's begin with this one. I'm a 61-year-old male, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and sleep apnea. Am I eligible starting now?
Sure. So we have a list of the health conditions as far as type 2 diabetes. If the hemoglobin A1C is greater than 7.5%, that was our sort of threshold for how severe of type 2 diabetes. So if this person meets that criteria, then yes, that person's eligible.
Okay. And this sort of begs a bigger question, which is, do you need a note from the doctor? How is this being managed and administered?
Yeah, so that's also a great question. And, you know, we'll acknowledge we've had a lot of good, healthy conversations and debate about how to balance making sure the right people are getting vaccinated in a priority, because as we all know, there are some people who are trying to get in any way, shape, or form, but also not having barriers, especially to people who may not have a regular, primary care provider. So ultimately, our goal is to remove barriers, especially with our equity focus. So we have actually now just required that there's a self-attestation form that people sign to attest that they meet the criteria for the high-risk medical conditions or disabilities.
All right. So as long as you fit one of those categories, it's sort of a self-honesty system. You sign a form saying, I have this. You don't need your doctor to sign something.
That's correct.
Okay. Next one wants to know, just to clarify, whether this new eligibility requirement system covers all 58 counties or just some?
Yes. This is a statewide new eligibility.
Okay. Next one. Since 40% of the vaccine we're told is being directed to the most impacted zip codes, are the eligibility rules the same there? That is, are people younger than 65 in the general population able to get vaccinated? What happens when there's more vaccine available in those zip codes than people eligible to get them?
So, unfortunately, right now we're in a space where we still have less vaccine than all the people that are eligible. So we're not there yet, but we're looking forward to that day, which we think is sooner than we originally hoped. We do hope, you know, as the federal administration has said, it sounds like by May, we should be able to offer everybody vaccine, even though it'll still take some time, of course, for everybody who's interested to get vaccine, but we are hoping our supply opens up by then. So currently, we still have the allocation to the most impacted zip codes. But this eligibility is for people with these conditions, so cancer, chronic kidney disease, chronic pulmonary disease, Down syndrome, solid organ transplants, pregnancy, sickle cell, heart conditions, including heart failure, coronary artery disease, or what we call cardiomyopathies, severe obesity, and type 2 diabetes, or other disabilities. All of those on that list are eligible statewide.
Okay, and maybe you can clarify about this most impacted zip code part of this. Has confused a lot of people. Doses are being prioritized for those areas. Are people in those areas, everybody down to age 16, eligible, or is it still subject to the same eligibility rules that cover the rest of the state?
The eligibility rules are the same across the state right
okay.
now. Yeah.
Fair enough. Question here, someone who wanted to know, I have sort of it's a long question. Let's see if I can distill it here. Why did California choose a body mass index of 40 to define severe obesity? Other states used a lower number.
My understanding is that's a pretty standard number by the CDC and others as far as 40 versus the sort of regular obesity number.
Okay. This next question, pregnancy. Is there any concern about any of the differing vaccines? In other words, is one better than the other, or are all of them considered safe and effective for pregnant women?
So I think that's a great question. And as far as comparing the three vaccines, there is limited data in pregnancy in all three. On the other hand, I think there's been a collective determination, and I would agree with this, that the benefits of vaccination likely outweigh any potential risks based on the safety data we do have. And there's not a difference, as far as I know, amongst the three different vaccines as far as the data available in pregnancy. But I think it's a good conversation to have with the individual's, you know, prenatal provider, just to have that conversation in case there's anything in addition to the pregnancy that might be a factor.
I should ask you, I mean, I assume now that the folks doing the vaccinations at all these sites are now sort of going to be put in the middle of sometimes having to have conversations that really it's not appropriate. I mean, in other words, if somebody comes up and wants to ask them about how they, with their given medical condition, might react. What sorts of training, what kind of advice, I mean, what's happening on site where vaccinations are being given around these new issues?
Well, so, you know, and I think most importantly, actually, to your point, what we really are strongly recommending is that people who do have a healthcare provider actually be seen at their healthcare provider so that they can, that person, that provider and or that clinic has access to your medical records and can really counsel you appropriately. So we really encourage people to go to their clinical providers or get references to clinical sites rather than sort of these mass vaccination sites, because there isn't that kind of medical training available necessarily for all the frontline people that are kind of doing the initial triage of these larger
sites. I'm glad you brought that up, because I had two different questions from people wanting to know, one a Kaiser member, one a Sutter member, who said they had conditions that fit this list and wanted to know how it was going to work within their healthcare network. So what you're saying is people who fit these medical areas, severe health conditions, should be trying to arrange their vaccination through their provider.
Absolutely, yes. Especially providers like Kaiser and Sutter that definitely are getting vaccine. There are, of course, people who might go to, you know, a smaller clinic or a provider that may not yet have access to vaccine. And that's where I think working within your local county to find out where you can get vaccine, ideally in a clinic site, sort of a pre-existing, you know, brick-and-mortar clinic site rather than a mass vaccination site, is really the ideal place to get vaccinated if you have one of these conditions.
And how concerned are you? I mean, given the notion that so many people don't have an existing healthcare relationship who may well be in one of these categories, that they'll fall through the cracks?
Well, I think, you know, again, our challenge in this moment is that we just don't have enough vaccine for all the people that are eligible. So we're really wanting to continue to get people in. And I think as we get more vaccine and as we kind of continue to see where our gaps are, and as you sort of noted, we've been trying to fill some of the gaps as far as allocating to our most disproportionately impacted zip codes. And so that's an area we're really working hard on now. And I think as we get more vaccine, we can work really with healthcare systems to make sure they can do outreach to the people with these conditions that are high priority.
Okay. Next question. Breast cancer in remission for 4 years. Do I qualify?
So cancer, really the definition right now is with a currently weakened immune system. So that wouldn't necessarily be on our list for the highest priority right now.
Okay. And another one. Obviously, they're coming in quickly now. I'm HIV positive, in overall good health, 48 years old. What's my status?
So also a great question. So HIV specifically, especially in good health status right now, is not on the medical health condition list. People who have HIV who are, you know, experiencing limitations to their care or services or to their life because of HIV do actually qualify. And there's a letter that came out from our Department of Healthcare Services around that. But someone who's actually living with HIV who's healthy and well-controlled is actually not necessarily a high-priority person right now.
Okay. While I've got you, I've got to ask. It's been a year. And a year ago today, you were in Alameda County, and this a year you'll probably never forget. I would just be fascinated to hear your take on where we were, where we've come, and where we're going.
Yeah, no, thanks. It's obviously, top of mind. A major anniversary is for sure for today and tomorrow. And I do have a lot of clear memories of it was a Sunday, you know, talking to my Bay Area colleagues. And, you know, the other deja vu is hearing that Italy, unfortunately, is having to go on a lockdown again. And we were looking at our numbers and looking at what was happening in Italy and really concerned that we were heading the wrong direction at that point. And, you know, it was really only such a small number of cases compared to where we are now. And I think we still had hopes at the time that we would do, you know, that stay at home at that then. And it would be a few weeks, a couple months or 2 or 3 months, but not as long as it has been. On the other hand, I think, you know, it's been an incredible year of building up of public health infrastructure improved collaboration across health systems and public health and communities, really improving our regional and statewide collaboration from public health. And for me personally, having been at the local level at that time and now being in the state, has been an incredible growth opportunity, I think, has really, I think, helped for lots of reasons as far as just being able to have that perspective here at the state and really trying to bridge that together and trying to continue to take advantage of all the wonderful assets that we have as a state, but also really working to see how we can improve as we move forward. You know, there's a lot of, again, speaking as a prior local person, I think it's really important that local health has the flexibility and authority that's needed, but also how do we build systems and infrastructure statewide to really improve our coordination and consistency statewide as well. So we've built some amazing things. We're really looking forward to getting sustainable funding and infrastructure to do that on the long term so that in the future when we have other emerging infectious diseases, we're even better prepared. But we've come an amazing long way. I never thought when you asked me last spring that we'd have a vaccine by December and be vaccinating. You know, we're close to, I think we're close to 4 million fully vaccinated Californians today, which is almost 10% of our population. And that's really astounding. So I'm really just really grateful for the science and the work, again, that's happened across Californians and how Californians have come together to, you know, be patient with all of the recommendations we've made, and really looking forward to this coming year and seeing that light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay, well, let me ask you then one last, and you can keep this one quick if you want. I mean, how optimistic are you right now that we are nearing a phase where we can begin to breathe a little more deeply?
I'm really optimistic, actually. I think, as others heard, you know, the governor mentioned last week the green tier, and we're working really hard on what that might look like and what are some of our criteria. And I think I have a lot of optimism. We're, of course, watching the variants very closely, but we're also seeing that, you know, more and more data from vaccines that even if they're slightly less effective for certain variants, we're not seeing those in high numbers in California at this point, and that there still should be some effectiveness, and that we're going to get ahead of that is my optimism. And really excited there's going to be more vaccine coming down the line very quickly. So long as all Californians, you know, do take vaccine and get us to more protection, I do see a lot of hope, and really hoping that later this year we'll be back to a lot of the things we used to do.
All right. Dr. Pond, thanks so much for your time.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Erica Pond. She is the state epidemiologist with the California Department of Public Health. And that'll do it for an interesting Ask an Expert today.